Today, my message focuses on the following verses from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, when Cleopas says, "Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself." And then if we drop down just a little bit further, "Then Jesus was at the table with them. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scripture to us?'" Let me just pause for one brief second. This is going to bother me if I can't see these people. All right. About a dozen years ago, I was not a pastor at that point. I was a lay leader, and I was sitting in church, and I was reading the worship folder, not during the sermon, but before, and I noticed three things in the worship folder. And what was going on is a new men's study was being kicked off, and three things caught my eye. The first was the study started on a Wednesday at 6:15 a.m. in the morning, which for me is almost dead on arrival, because I am not a morning person. Back then we had a three-year-old, and just trying to get there and then get to work was just going to be a big ordeal. But with that said, the title of the study intrigued me, and it was Henry Blackaby's, who's a Baptist, Experiencing God. And I thought, hey, you know, that might be interesting. And lastly, they were really smart, is they said the first meeting was basically a come and see, kick the tires, find out what this class is all about, and then you can decide, okay, do you really want to take it, or do you want to drop out? So they were kind of pulling us in with no strings attached. So I ended up deciding to go check it out, and I still remember the first day that I was driving there. It was winter, it was very cold, and it was completely dark. You could see the moon and the stars, and I was kind of thinking on my way up there, I don't think this is really going to work. And then when I got there, I had a couple more surprises. The first is I was the youngest guy there. Everybody else was probably 20 years older than me or more, so I wasn't quite sure if I fit in. And then we looked at the study, and the study was over 200 pages long, which was the longest study I've ever done. And then it had tons of homework, either 6 days a week or something like that, and memory verses. I kind of felt like I was back in confirmation. But as I thought about the class and what they were telling about us, what we would learn, there was another part of me that said, you know, this might be worth the investment, because maybe you will, in fact, draw closer to God. And so I decided that, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And what I remember is that study has a lot of teaching points, but there were like seven main ones, but four have stuck with me over the years, and I want to share the four. And none of this is all that unusual. The first is God is always at work around us, and you'll find some similar words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of John about that, and Jesus would say, I'm looking for God's work, and then I'm going to go follow and join my Father. The second learning point is God is seeking a love relationship with each of us that is real and personal. And I would kind of use the terms, it's about head knowledge and also heart knowledge. Then the third point is God invites us, it kind of echoes the first point, God invites us to become involved with him in his work. And I think that distinction is very important, because many times some churches kind of do the opposite. God will join us in our work. But here they're saying, look around your community, your church, see what's happening, and then join God in what he's already doing. And then the fourth one, and these might be out of order, I can't remember if it was consecutive or not, but the fourth one that I remember was, is that God speaks to his people through the Bible, through church, and prayer to reveal himself and his purposes and ways. And when you think about those studies or those teaching points, a lot of studies have those in different ways. And I know at one point, this Experiencing God study had sold over 2 million copies, which, to kind of put in perspective, 2 million copies, that would be a little bit less than half the population in Houston, Texas. Or to use a local example, I think the last time I checked, D.C. has a population about 600,000. So this study has been greatly used and is greatly popular. In fact, there's still a website for it. It goes on, and they've had additions over time. But what I think is it's not really the teaching points that have drawn people into this study. I think it's more of the title, Experiencing God. It has struck a chord for many people. And the question is, why is that? Well, I think that as Christians, and even as seekers, many of us hunger to have a greater experience. I'm just going to leave that kind of vague, but a greater experience with God and with Jesus, which is true for us now, and which is also true back in the disciples' day. And we get a sense of that here in today's gospel reading with these two men walking on the road where Jesus ends up joining them, kind of in secret. He's disguised. They don't recognize him. But before we jump in today's lesson, I kind of want to summarize the four different perspectives that Luke has given us today as we kind of work our way through the Bible or work our way through this chapter of Luke. And for example, we have the women, which we talked about last week. We have the angels. We have the disciples. And then we have Cleopas and his friend. And what we find is, and again, we talked about this last week, so I'm going to go fast, is that the women have gone to Jesus' tomb and the stone has been rolled out, and that there are two angels who come and say, Jesus is not here. He is risen, just like he said he would. And then they tell him, go tell the disciples. So there's two perspectives right there. We have the angels' perspective, which says Jesus has risen, and then they tell that to the women, and then the women go and tell the disciples. In fact, you could almost say the women were literally touched by an angel. But when they get to the disciples don't think they were touched by an angel. They think maybe they were touched in the head. Because they tell us, or Luke tells us, that when they hear these words about Jesus being risen, they think that it sounds like nonsense. Then Peter goes off and checks for himself. He finds it just what the women had said. Jesus' body is not there. The stone has been rolled away. And he is kind of wondering, well, what happened? So if we take a step back and look at what Luke has told us this morning and then what John had told us last week, because last week we covered some verses from the Gospel of John, we have on this first Easter what I would call, excluding the women, a pattern of doubt. We have, as John taught us last week, doubting Thomas. We have this week, doubting disciples. And also, if we look at today's gospel reading, we have doubting Cleopas and his buddy on the road to Emmaus. And I think if we stop and take a look back, we could probably add our name, doubting, fill in the blank, because from time to time, we have doubts. We have doubts about God and Jesus. We have doubts maybe about God's plan for our life right now, or maybe for our children. Maybe during the call process, during that 3-year vacancy, you had doubts about were you ever going to get a pastor. And maybe now you're wondering, are you going to be able to endure this one? But on a more serious side, our doubts can flicker and flare up when we're dealing with when the world doesn't work quite right, or especially in illness or sickness, or in death or dying of a loved one or a friend. Now, I think today's lesson can help us, because here we find Cleopas and his buddy walking on the road, talking with Jesus, and two important things happen. First, though, we have Jesus joining them, and again, as I said before, they don't recognize him. Somehow, their eyes are clouded, and Jesus asks them, "What are you talking about?" All right, so we know by the way they answer that they have been talking about what has been going on in Jerusalem for the last several days, and then we are given clues about their mindset. First of all, one of the facts that we learn is that Luke tells us that they are disciples, and that makes me relate to them maybe a little bit more than the 11, because this is the only place where Cleopas' name comes out. So he's not in the 11, and maybe he's not in the 72. Maybe, and the Bible doesn't tell us, maybe he's just more of an everyday follower like we are. We also know, because Luke tells us, that when Jesus asks them what they're talking about, is that they have saddened faces, all right? And we can figure out why their faces are sad when we look at what they say to Jesus very closely. And this is what Cleopas tells Jesus. We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. When I was reading that, did you catch all the past tense that he used when talking to Jesus? He ended up saying, Jesus, he was a prophet, was powerful in word and deed. He also said, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Basically, they're saying Jesus is dead and gone, and with him has gone our hope. And there's really nothing left to do but to go home or go to this village where we have other business. But then we get a little bit of a cliffhanger, so to speak, because Cleopas tells us that the women amazed them with this story about seeing an angel or seeing angels who told them that Jesus was alive. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus for them was a problem. They couldn't get beyond it. Their minds were closed around the possibility of a resurrection, even though Jesus had taught that during his ministry. But it's also important for us to see in today's lesson that Jesus doesn't leave them in their sadness or in their gloom. In fact, he opens their mind with what I would call two aha moments. But before we kind of jump into that, you know, I want to ask all of you, can you think of anyone whose mind was incredibly closed, but through some aha moment, totally changed? I mean, their lives changed 180 degrees for the better. Can you think of a modern example? Well, I tell you, I had to brainstorm on that for a little bit. But what I ended up coming up with was the story of Helen Keller, which there's two ahas in that, too. Now, when you hear me mention that, you might go, well, that's not really modern, you know, and you think maybe about the black and white pictures of her. But she lived all the way to 1968. So she's been fairly recent, less than 50 years is her story. And in case, if you don't know her story, just to go through it very quickly, is that when she was a toddler, she ended up catching an illness, and she became deaf, and she also became blind, and some accounts say that she lost her sense of smell. Well, after several years, her parents hired a teacher, and what the teacher would do is she would sign language in her palm as she placed her hand on other things. So if she had a doll, she would sign doll in the palm of her hand. Progress originally was very slow, but then at one point, when she takes her down a familiar path and there is a well, she puts Helen Keller's hand into the water, spills water in the other hand, and then all of a sudden, aha, Helen Keller makes the connection. She now understands communication, and she's going to discover language as she goes. and her mind is totally unlocked and open. She goes on to write books and do all kinds of incredible things. But there's more than that. In fact, as I was looking into her story, I came across something that I thought was very interesting that typically you don't hear in schools, or at least when I was in school, you didn't hear about it, is Helen also had a spiritual awakening. And according to the Wilmington Guide to the Bible, they write, sometime after Helen had progressed to the point that she could engage in conversation, she was told of God and his love in sending Christ to die on the cross. And I love this part, her reaction. She said to have responded with joy, I always knew he was there, but I didn't know his name. She had two aha moments. The first was discovering the gift of language, which all of us, we kind of take for granted. And the second was, is just discovering God's love through Jesus and the forgiveness and the healing he brings through the cross. And according to what the quote that I just read, she was filled with joy and it changed her life. So not only language changed her life, but I would say that learning about Jesus changed her eternal home, and she's filled with joy. Which brings us back to Cleopas and his buddy on the road, because their minds were closed to the resurrection, but they also had two revelations, and they're kind of merged, but I want to just kind of walk through it. First is that Jesus as a stranger opened their minds to Scripture, and it's very specific. It says that Jesus goes back and teaches them about what Moses said, about what the prophet said, and all of Scripture about the Messiah and what he must suffer and do. So you could almost say it was a day of school. Then, when they get to the town, the village, and it's late, they ask him to stay, and he breaks bread. And if you notice the language there, it sounds very much like communion. He broke bread, he gives thanks. And it just sounds like, you know, something awesome. And then their eyes are opened, and then they realize it is Jesus. And now, for them, the resurrection is no longer a problem locking their minds, but it is a solution opening their minds. And what do they do next? They want to go tell people. So they hightail it back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples. For them, hearing and seeing was believing, all right? For Helen Keller, hearing, so to speak, because it was really signing in her hand, hearing was believing. And I think what Cleopas says, right after Jesus had disappeared, when they realized it was Jesus with them at that meal, I think what he says is very important to us in modern times. And here's what he says. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened Scripture to us? Before they actually visibly saw Jesus, they were learning all about Jesus, and they were talking about it and having discussions. This wasn't talking about ball games or work or that sort of thing. They are having a deep conversation, a deep Bible study, so to speak. In short, their understanding increased while they were working through God's Word. And it caused what they said for their hearts to burn. Another way to phrase that is it caused their hearts to stir within them. There was a stirring within their soul. They essentially experienced God through the Scriptures. They didn't quite know it. They knew something was going on inside. And what we can gather from that is that there's power in God's Word, because we can get to know God and Jesus. We get to experience them through the Scriptures by also talking about God and Jesus. So it's learning, it's understanding, and just what I would call soaking it up. And that applies to them, and it also applies to us today. That's why God's Word plays such a prominent part in our worships during Sunday, and also why we over and over again encourage people to get involved with some sort of study. It could be Sunday school for children or also adults. It's Jesus Company on Wednesday night. It's Bread Breakers. It's Vacation Bible Study. It's men's group and it's women's group, where we read the scriptures and we talk about Jesus and we ask questions and we grow in our understanding. Like with the two on the road, you will also gain both head and heart knowledge, especially when you talk it about with others, because you are seeking Jesus. And I have seen people be changed by the Word of God. I've seen it during worship services. I've seen it also, maybe at a faster rate, in Bible studies, because there's more give and take in conversation. I've seen it in my own life, and I'll just give you a quick example, is that, again, back when I was a lay leader, a dozen or more so years ago, our pastor challenged the whole church to read the Gospel of John during Lent. Anyway, I decided to take that challenge. And, you know, reading it in 5 to 6 weeks took some time, but what I found that it did is it deepened my understanding of Jesus, and it took me to the next step, which in this case was, now I'm ready to read the entire Bible. And because I had tried it in the past, and when I'd gotten to Leviticus, I kind of hit a wall, and then another time I tried it, I think I made it to 2 Chronicles, I hit another wall. But when I read the Gospel of John, that was enough to where I had a better understanding and I could go back to the scriptures, to Moses, to the prophets, to understand Jesus better, and it really had a deep impact on me. So, in light of that, what I want to leave with all of you today is that if you're not involved in a Bible study or study group, or if maybe you've hit this plateau where you want maybe a little bit more, or maybe you feel like something is missing, I want to encourage you to get into God's Word, to open up the Bible, but not necessarily by yourself, to do it with others. Because Jesus promises us that we will not go it alone, and where two or three are gathered in His name, He will be there. So you will be able to experience God both through conversations, worship, and the scripture. And my prayer for you today is that may He also and His Spirit stir in you as you are learning more about Him. Amen? Amen. Let us stand.